Take your Bibles as you remain standing just for a few more moments today. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. It can touch parts of your life that you never even knew God knew about. You can try to hide stuff from God. God's Word will just come right on in. He'll pry the lid off that box. God's Word will never return void. It will do a work. If you will allow God's Word to go into your heart today, God can do a work in your life. You can have hope where there was no hope. You can have freedom where there was once was bondage, and it's all because of the power of the Word of God. Turn in your Bibles to Jonah. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, somewhere around that vicinity there. Jonah chapter 1. How many people have heard of the story of Jonah? Yeah? How many people? Let's see some hands. Everybody heard the story of Jonah. Praise the Lord. Jonah chapter 1 and verse 17. Hopefully you've got it on your devices or your Bible there. The Bible says, "Now the Lord." Everybody say those first three words. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish." Everybody say a great fish. Everybody knows Jonah and the whale, but the Bible says it was a great fish. It could have been a whale. Chances are it most probably was a whale, the greatest of the fish. But the Torres Strait Islanders, they will tell you that it could have been a grouper, these big fish that live under the piers, known to swallow people whole. But all we know is the Bible says that it was a great fish. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." Let's read it all together as a congregation. "Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights." I want to speak today on simply just this: escaping the belly of the fish. Escaping the belly of the fish. Heavenly Father, help us to hear your word, not just audibly in our ears, but help us to hear it in our hearts. Lord God, help us, our spiritual ears, to be open to what you would say to us as individuals and also, Lord, as a corporate body, as the church. Lord God, help us to apply it to our lives, oh God, so, Lord, we may be changed to become more like you. Lord, I pray that your word would find that person today, oh God, that is running from you, oh God, that has made up their mind, oh God, to trust in their own ways, oh God, and to forsake your ways, to put their trust in their own strength, oh God, and to walk away from you and not put their trust in your strength, oh God, that you would find them today and that your word would woo them, oh God, back into your presence. We love you and we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Escaping the belly of the fish. Escaping the belly of the fish. Before I go any further today, let me say at the very outset that I don't believe that everything bad that happens to us is the judgment or the cause of God. I don't believe that. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust. In other words, bad things can happen to good people and good things can happen to bad people. And just because you go through a difficult circumstance in life, it is not the judgment of God on your life. For many people, they don't get that. And when they fall sick, they think, "What have I done, God, to deserve this? What sin have I done?" Okay, we've got some cars on the road and the bus can't get through. So maybe I was prophesying. So if your bus is on the road, if your car is on the road, please go and move it quickly. And it's the, who's going to stand? Because the action bus is sitting there waiting. So if your car is on the road, then go and move it. They might be in Sunday school, some people. All right, so that's a bit of a
Disruption to the service. All right, okay. We might have... Okay, we can attend to that. So I don't believe that everything bad that happens to us is the judgment of God. Now, I know in some cultures, people are very hesitant to talk about sickness. People are very hesitant to talk about family tragedy because for some reason there is this belief that people will think that God is judging them and that they've done something wrong. But the reality is that things do happen to people. And it rains on the just and the unjust. And you see, sometimes we get it in our mind that because we are sick, that God must have caused this to judge us. But that's not always the case. It could be the case that God is trying to get your attention. But just because you're sick and just because you have a tragedy, it is not the cause of God. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45 that it rains on the just and the unjust. You see, we have to be careful not to make Christianity all about what God can do for us. It's not just about what God can do for us, because if we just focus on what God can do for us and how God can bless us, we can very quickly fall into the trap of merchandising, trying to sell the gospel. We know that there are titles of God: Jehovah Shalom, He is our peace. Jehovah Jireh, He is my provider. Jehovah Rapha, He is my healer. You see, God is everything to us. He can provide all of our needs. How many people know that God provides all of our needs? That He's our supplier. Amen. But I'm afraid that just by focusing on what God can do for us, this is just a caricature of God. Has anybody ever had a caricature drawn of their face? Anybody been game enough to have a caricature drawn? How many people? Let me see your hands. You're brave people. A caricature. I like to go to the show and you look at the picture that guy's drawing and you look at the person and it's kind of funny. But we've got to be careful of not taking a caricature of God and making it God. Because what a caricature does, it takes certain aspects of your face and it makes them extra big. For instance, if someone was to draw a caricature of my face, my nose would be as big as the paper. Because caricatures, they take something about our personality or something about our face and they enlarge it out of proportion. And see, we've got to be careful not to take a caricature of God and to just enlarge His provision, enlarge His blessing, and enlarge all of those things. Yes, He can do many things for us. He supplies all of our needs. But there are other parts of God's character that we diminish. And so we don't want to have a caricature. In fact, a caricature, and that's probably one reason why I haven't got one, it can be insulting. You have to be a brave person to get a caricature. I mean, sometimes that caricature will pick up on things that you never knew were funny about you, you know? And that's the scary thing. You see, we want to get a portrait of God. Yes, God is love, God is gracious, God is merciful, but God can also be angry. God can also be jealous when we've got idols in our lives. God can be jealous of those things. God can be angry. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, in the New Testament, it says, it is a fearful thing. Everybody say fearful. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. So we've got to be very careful not to paint a caricature of God and to enlarge and to make the parts that we want, that we like, to make them bigger than the parts that we might not like as much. We want a portrait of God. And in our text today, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, there are three characters. Everybody say three characters. Very often we only focus on Jonah and the great fish. We focus on Jonah and the whale. But it was the Lord. There are three characters in that portion, not just Jonah and the great fish or just Jonah and the whale. But God is in that text as well. Because it was God that prepared the great fish that swallowed Jonah. So we have God, we have Jonah, and we have the great fish. You see, it was God and the whale before it was Jonah and the whale. It was God and the whale before it was Jonah and the whale. And so, if you throw that next slide up, we have the prophet Jonah. Jonah wasn't just an ordinary man. Jonah was a prophet of God. He heard the voice of God. Jonah knew that God was speaking to him. Jonah heard God say, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Jonah heard that. He knew what it was to hear the voice of God. And God says, "I want you to go, Jonah, to preach in Nineveh, which is the capital of Assyria. It is one of the worst and most oppressive empires in ancient Near East, in the ancient Near East." And there it is. Jonah is called to go to Nineveh to preach, and Jonah refuses to go. He says to God, he says, "No." And he doesn't just refuse to go. He runs in the opposite direction. This is not just some ordinary person. This is the prophet Jonah. This is a man who is used to hearing from God. This is a man who knows the voice of God. This is a man who has heard and obeyed God many times. But the call of God comes to Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he says no. And he runs in the opposite direction. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, "Arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. For their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, which was in the other direction. He ran from the presence of the Lord, and he went down. Everybody say down. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and he went, everybody say down. And he went down into the ship to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He was running from the presence of the Lord. Now Jonah heard God say that. It wasn't some impression. He heard God tell him to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, "I'm not up for it." And he blatantly disobeyed God. Jonah had received direction from the Lord, but he leaned on his own understanding. The Bible teaches us not to lean on our own understanding. In fact, in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Do not lean on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord with all your heart." So many times, brothers and sisters, we fall into the trap where we know God is speaking to us. We know what God wants us to do, but we lean on our own understanding. We choose to do things the way we think they should be done. And as it were, we turn our back on God and we go in the opposite direction. He got into the ship that was on its way to Tarshish instead of going to Nineveh. We could say a few things about Jonah. He was disobedient. He was rebellious. He was resistant to the will of God. He denied the call of God on his life. Jonah wanted to go east to Nineveh. God wanted Jonah to go east to Nineveh, but he took off in the opposite direction. I wonder today if there is anybody here that has ever done what Jonah's done. I would never ask anybody to raise their hands. But I wonder how many people there are today that have heard God's voice and they know the call of God and they know the direction that God is calling them to go, and they blatantly refuse to do what God has called them to do. How many times have we come to church and the word of God is preached? God has pricked our hearts. We've sat here thinking, you know, something's got to change, and we walk out and we refuse to do it. I wonder how many Jonahs we have today. Maybe you can think back, you know, and think, yes, I remember a time when I tried to disobey God and I was rebellious against God, but thank God for his grace. He saved me. He, whatever circumstances happened, it all turned around, and now I can say I'm not going to go back and be a Jonah again. But maybe there's someone here today that you're a Jonah today. That God has been speaking to you, God has been calling you, but you continue to rebel against God. And so the chess games begin. God makes a move, and Jonah makes a counter move. God says, "Go to Nineveh," and Jonah goes to Tarshish. He flees from the presence of God. He flees from the presence of God. It says over and over again, he is fleeing. Look, it says, he went down into Tarshish. Okay? from the presence of the Lord. At the bottom of verse 3, it says, he went unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He's fleeing from the presence of the Lord. I have to just think to myself, is Jonah nuts? Is Jonah crazy? The prophet Jonah is trying to flee from the presence of God. No doubt the prophet Jonah had probably preached a message about how you can't flee from the presence of God. No doubt Jonah had told many people, you know what? You can't flee from the presence of God. And here he is trying to flee from the presence of God, the prophet Jonah. Psalm chapter 139, verse 7 and 8 says, where can I go from your spirit? David says this. Or where can I flee from your presence, God? If I ascend up into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there also. We cannot flee from the presence of God. If you think that you can run, let me tell you, you can run, but you can't hide. You cannot flee from the presence of God. You see, when you walk away from the call of God, it's a downward journey. Everybody say downward. Jonah went down to Joppa. Jonah went down into the ship. Jonah went down. After he got thrown out of that boat, he went down into the sea and he prayed out of the fish's belly. He said, he acknowledged in Jonah chapter 2 verse 6, he says, I went down to the bottom of the mountains. You see, the bottom of the mountains, there are mountains underneath the ocean. He says, and I went down into the valleys that were under the ocean. I went down into the bottom of the mountains. You see, you cannot run from the call of God. When God is calling you, you must not run. You must heed to God. It says in verse 3, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare. He paid the price. And he went into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down into it. You see, it's a frightening thing today, brothers and sisters, it's a frightening thing to choose to disobey God. It's a frightening thing to choose to disobey God. You see, there came a great storm. It came from God. There came a great fish. It came from God. You see, God was not happy with Jonah. See, sometimes we can paint a caricature and say, you know, he loves us doesn't matter what. Yes, God does love us, but he doesn't love our sin. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. You can't just keep running from God and disobeying God and not expect God to just keep overlooking our sin. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? God forbid. So Jonah chapter 1 verse 4 and 5, I hope you're following it in your Bible today. Jonah chapter 1 verse 4 and 5, it says, but the Lord, everybody say the Lord. Oh, it was the Lord again. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. The ship almost broke, and then the mariners, everyone say the mariners, were afraid, and they cried every man unto his God. Can you imagine being on that ship that day? It's calling out to every God they know. And cast forth the wares that were in the ship. The ship's starting to go down, so they just start taking stuff and throwing it over the side to lighten it up of them. But Jonah was gone down. Everybody say down. He's gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay, and he was fast asleep. The Lord sent a great wind. The Lord sent a storm. You see, these sailors are professionals. They were not hobby sailors, they were mariners. And if they were afraid, it must have been a great storm. They had been out on the water plenty of times. In fact, that was probably a regular route that they took to Tarshish. They had been across that ocean many times. They had seen every storm known unto man. They had been through everything. They had seen the high winds, but this one was something different. There was a great wind, and they were afraid. Something different. This is not like anything we've ever seen before. And so God is getting ready to get Jonah's attention. We often think that because of the way the story works out, that God had some masterful plan. he would take him on the water and cause him to be thrown overboard, and then he would bring a whale along. And yes, God can work through anything. But if Jonah had not prayed the prayers that he prayed in the belly of that fish, if Jonah had not responded the way that he responded, I believe the story would have ended up completely different. It would have not have ended in the nice way that it did. I believe that if Jonah had not called out to God in the belly of the whale while he was running from God in rebellion, if Jonah did not call out to God, it would have ended in the belly of the whale. You see, that fish, and listen carefully, that fish was the judgment of God or it was the mercy of God. It was up to the way Jonah responded. The judgment of God or the mercy of God? He's in that whale, in that whale's belly. He's in the belly of that great fish. It is the judgment of God. If he doesn't cry out in repentance and humility unto God, then it's going to end in the fish's belly. But if he cries out to God, the mercy of God is going to reach out to him and it's going to deliver him out of the belly's whale. I'm talking today about escaping the belly of a great fish. And some of us today, because of whatever circumstances, maybe you are running from God and you find yourself, as it were, in the belly of a fish. Let me tell you, the only way that you can escape from the belly of that fish is to cry out to God, to begin to make yourself humble before God. Don't be proud. Don't stand before God and mock and say, God, I'm doing it my own way. Why can't you just adjust yourself to me? Why can't you just do things the way I want you to do them? Why can't you do it this way? No, don't be proud, because God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That whale was going to be the judgment of God. It was going to be the mercy of God. That circumstance could have ended it all for Jonah, but Jonah cried out to God, as we'll see in the Word. He cried out with humility and repentance, and the mercy of God found him in the belly of the whale. I'm talking about escaping the belly of the fish. Jonah ran from God. Jonah denied God. Jonah disobeyed God, rebelled against God. What's he doing? What's he doing once he's done all of that? He gets onto a boat to Tarshish and he's sleeping. Everybody say sleeping. He is there and he was fast asleep. You see, maybe Jonah had got so used to disobeying God. Maybe it was so set in his heart that he didn't even feel bad about it. I mean, one thing I know is when you're wrong with God, it's hard to sleep. It should be hard to sleep. Well, you shouldn't be sleeping. When that storm came, he shouldn't be sleeping. He should have been crying out to God and repenting of his sin. He should have been saying, God, it's your way, not my way. I give up. I'm not going to rebel against you. I'll do whatever you want, God. But no, he's fast asleep. The storm is raging. I know what I'd be doing. I'd be praying. I'd be begging God for mercy. But you see, that wasn't enough for Jonah. The sailors were decent men. Look at this. The Bible says that they were God-fearing people. They all began to cry out to their own God. While Jonah, the only one who knew the true God, Jonah, the only one that knew the true God, what's he doing? He's sleeping. Let me just say it again. The prophet Jonah, the only one who knew the true God, he's asleep. All the others are crying out to their own pagan gods. The captain finally comes and wakes Jonah up and tells him to pray to Jonah's God. Pray to your God. He walks down to him and he says, Oh, sleeper, how can you sleep at a time like this? We read it in verse 6 to 8 of chapter 1. Look at this. Throw it up on the screen. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou? He walks down in the bottom of the ship, down into the bottom of the ship, and he shakes him. He says, what on earth are you doing, O sleeper? Remember, he's gone from the chaos on top of the decks. Everybody's crying out to their gods. Can you just imagine it? You see, it's like the old saying, there are no atheists in the foxholes of war. Everybody's crying out to God. And they walk down into the bottom of the ship. And there is the prophet Jonah sleeping. He says, how on earth can you do this? What meaneth this, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause, who caused this evil to come upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Can you imagine they're all standing around there? How on earth? Why is this happening to us? Why has this storm come? We've never seen a storm so bad. We're going to cast lots. And it says, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Jonah? Can you imagine how he felt? Yeah. They said, Jonah, tell us, we pray thee. Why is this evil come upon us? Why? What is your occupation? Who are you? And where have you come from? What is your country and of what people are you? We know. What are you doing, O sleeper? In the middle of a storm, when God sent the storm, he's there sleeping. They said, we think that somebody's angered God. And all the eyes look at Jonah. Somebody's made God angry. And there's Jonah. He all along, he's just sleeping. Jonah owns up. He says, you know, God told me to go to Nineveh, but instead I'm going to Tarshish. I've made up my mind. I'm not going to do what God has called me to do. I'm not going to live the way that God wants me to live. This is my life. I'll do whatever I want. It's too big of an ask for God to want me to go to Nineveh. He probably wanted them to accept it and understand him. He's probably sitting there with all them. He says, you know, I've given up on God. I don't want to go the way God's called me anymore. I want to rebel against God. And he's probably looking at them. Can't you just understand me? No, they can't understand him. You see, his sin is affecting them. See, sometimes we don't think our sin affects anyone else, but it does. It affects our family. It affects our loved ones. They wouldn't accept it. They threw him overboard. And what happened? The storm stopped. It says, so they took Jonah, verse 15, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. In spite of Jonah's rebelliousness, God actually used him to help these sailors. Now, I've been in church long enough to know that sometimes people, even while they're rebelling from God, that God can somehow use that situation to bring other people to the Lord. They found out who the one true God was through Jonah's rebelliousness. I'm not saying it's a good way to be a good witness. But some people can see the judgment of God on your life and say, whoa, God is real. Interesting. So God used these people to not call on their pagan gods anymore, but to call upon the one true God. God responds graciously even to the Gentile sailors. God sent the storm. Everybody say, God sent the storm. God sent the storm. And write this down if you're taking notes. God sent the storm to get Jonah out of the boat that was leading him in a direction that was contrary to God. God sent the storm. And sometimes God will send storms into your life to get you out of the boat that was taking you in the wrong direction. And some of you today can say, you know what, Pastor, that's my testimony. There was once upon a time when everything was going well. I was rebelling from God and it didn't seem like God even worried. It was fine. I seemed like I was fine with God. Everything seemed successful. And then God says, enough's enough. You've run a little bit too far. And God sends a storm into our life. It gets us off the boat that was going in the wrong direction. And you know what? As hard as that storm may have been, may have made us feel seasick, may have not been a very nice experience, but right now we sit here today and say, I thank God for the storm because I was headed in the wrong direction. I thank God that I got thrown overboard in that storm because you know what? I would have ended up a long way from God. And I know some people can testify. We don't like to talk about storms, but sometimes it's better to go through a storm than to end up in hell. Not an easy message to preach today. In fact, last 3 days, I just feel like the devil just come and tell me, don't preach that. It's not very nice, you know. No, I'm preach what God gives me. So what would have happened if Jonah didn't own up? It's important to remember that these actions by God were intended to correct him. God was trying to get his attention. It wasn't necessarily punishment, but it was God correcting him, getting his attention. Jonah, you're heading in the wrong direction. You're heading in the wrong direction physically. You're heading in the wrong direction spiritually. So God intervened. He sent a storm to turn him around. You see, Jonah's actions were like spitting in God's face. Think about it. The prophet Jonah. And so in this day and age where people believe that you can have a relationship with God on your own terms, you can live how you want to live, go where you want to go, treat people how you want to treat people, act any way you want to act, that you can disobey God. Let me tell you, God may not send a storm right now, but don't judge God's mercy as God's weakness. God isn't weak. He is merciful. He is gracious. But he's not weak. God shows mercy, but God will not always rebuke and punish man, but neither will he keep his anger forever. Throw that scripture up, Psalm 103, verse 9. The Lord is merciful and gracious. He is slow to anger. He is plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide. He will not always rebuke. Neither will he keep his anger forever. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of God. So Jonah had disobeyed God. He's running from God. He's running from the presence of God. He's in the middle of the storm. He's thrown overboard. He's sinking into the ocean. I wonder, again, if there are any Jonahs here today. We've run from God. We're running from God. We've gotten angry with God. We've chosen our own way. He said one thing and we've done the opposite. He said, go, and we've said no. He said, stop. We put our fingers in our ears and said, God, I don't want to hear it. He sets the standard, and we compromise lower. Let me tell you one thing that I've learned in my life. I might not understand why God is saying something, but he's God, and I'm not. I've learned that. Sometimes we may not understand everything, what God is calling us to do. Sometimes we might not understand God's ways, but his ways are higher than our ways. That we are called to trust in God. You see, sometimes we really, honestly, sometimes the way we behave, even our prayerlessness, we're telling God that we know better. When you don't pray, that's what you're telling God. You're telling God, I've got this. I don't need your help. Keep your hands out of it. I'll call you when I need you. And so, he's God and we're not. So the Lord sent a storm. See, I don't want to just preach a caricature of God and just emphasize his mercy and his grace and his love. Yes, all of those things are true. But if we're going to have a portrait of God, you've got to understand that God can get angry as well. And that God sent the storm. But he didn't just send a storm. He also sent the great fish. It was a fish wasn't just going along his merry way like, oops, I ate him. No. God, the Bible says, spoke to the fish. Not the Lord prepared a great fish. Not the devil. The Lord. Sometimes a great fish will swallow you and you think, oh, it's a work of the devil. Sometimes it's God trying to get your attention. Sometimes you go through hardships, you go through trials, and we say, oh, it's the devil again. No, sometimes God is trying to get your attention. The Lord was looking at Jonah and say, you've disobeyed me one too many times. You're running from me. You've rebelled against me. You're going your own way. And now, Jonah, I'm going to get your attention. Sometimes God uses circumstances to get our attention. Prophet Jonah, there are people that need salvation. Prophet Jonah, I've called you to preach. There are people that need a word of prophecy, Prophet Jonah. And Prophet Jonah, I just can't get you to listen to me. You hard-headed, rebellious individual, Jonah, how am I going to get your attention? I'll send a storm and then I'll send a great fish. Sometimes we're experiencing circumstances that God allows in our life. Remember that I'm not saying that every circumstance you experience in life is the judgment or caused by God.
But sometimes God will send circumstances to get our attention. Sometimes we are experiencing the things that God allows so that he can get our attention. In our story of Jonah, we don't see the work of the devil once. We see God sent the storm. We see that God sent the fish. You see, Jonah and God. Jonah disobeys and God sends a storm and he sends a fish. And God is saying, Jonah, I've called you and you know me. We've got a connection. We understand one another. You are a prophet. You know my voice. You have the anointing of God on your life and you are running from it all. You are running from me. You see, the Bible says that whatsoever a man, in Galatians it says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. See, Jonah, you are sowing and now you are reaping. It says in Hebrews 10, it's a fearful thing to fall into the hand of a living God. The anger of God. Yes, he is slow to anger. Everyone say slow. How many people are thankful that God is slow to anger? Yeah. How many people are thankful that God is merciful and gracious? Yes, we can testify. You say, God, you know, I've done so many things wrong, even sinful, even deceptive, but God is slow to anger. Yes, he is slow to anger, but yes, his anger is fierce. He is slow to it, but when it comes, it is fierce. And that is one reason why that Australia needs to turn back to God. People can only mock God for so long. Judgment is coming. So Jonah ran from the call of God. And God matches every move of Jonah with a counter move of correction. In Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, it tells us, have you ever wondered why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? Have you ever wondered why? I'm sure you've probably got some ideas in your mind as why. You know, because they were a fierce people. One account says that their army used to put like big fish hooks in people's mouths. Look it up for yourself. Look at the people from Nineveh. They were nasty people. But have you ever really wondered why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? It wasn't that he was scared of them. He was too proud to go to Nineveh. Oh, what do you mean he was too proud? You see, the fact that he didn't want to go to Nineveh, he was a prophet. See, a prophet who made a false prophecy would lose all respect. He would lose his place in society. If you made a prophecy that didn't come to pass, you'd be put aside. Turn in your Bible to Jonah chapter 4. Let's look at the reason why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He says to the Lord in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. I went to Tarshish because I knew that you are a gracious God. Look at this. Are you reading it? I knew that you are a gracious God. I knew that you are merciful. I knew that you are slow to anger and of great kindness and repentest thee of evil. This is the story. Jonah is sent to Nineveh to preach, to prophesy. He is not sent with a message of repentance. The message that Jonah has, if you study it, it's not a message of repentance. It was not, if you turn to God, God will save you. No, Jonah was told to go and tell them that God is going to destroy you. It didn't seem like there was any hope. He was to go and prophesy and say, Nineveh, God is going to destroy you. All right, and then Jonah says, the reason I didn't want to go to Nineveh is because I knew that you were a gracious God and that you would change your mind if they cried out in repentance. And the implications of that is he's standing up there saying, God is going to destroy you. And because of their repentance, God doesn't destroy them. He goes, you know, all my credibility and credentials are on the line. God, I knew, he says, I knew that you were rich in mercy. I knew that you would be gracious. I knew that you would forgive them if they would repent. Can you see the pride in Jonah's life? He said, if I prophesy one thing and you do something else, God, then what am I going to look like? Yeah, they're scary enough. And so, in the Old Testament, if a prophet prophesied, something didn't come to pass, they lost all credibility. And so he says, I knew that you were Lord, that you were a gracious God. I knew that you were merciful. I knew that you were slow to anger. I knew that you were kind and you repentest thee of evil. I knew that you were going to change your mind, God. So I went to Tarshish instead to protect my reputation. But the Lord prepared a storm. But the Lord prepared a great fish. Not the devil, not circumstances. It says the Lord. Jonah was out of the will of God. Everyone say, out of the will of God. But the fish was in the will of God. Jonah was out of the will of God. But the fish was in the will of God. What do you do when there's a fish in the will of God? What do you do when there's a belly of a whale in the will of God? What do you do when there is a storm and it's in the will of God? Read Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 to 6. This is what you do. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Out of the fish's belly. See, a lot of us say, you know what, God, if you get me out of trouble, I'll pray to you. God, if you get me out of this trouble, I'll go to church. God, if you get me out of this trouble, I will serve you. I will follow you the rest of my life if you get me out of trouble. No, Jonah says, I prayed unto you in the middle of the Lord's belly. He was still in the fish's belly. And said, I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord. You have afflicted me, God. And because of this affliction, I'm crying unto you. And he heard me out of the belly of hell, cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Let me tell you, that whale's belly wasn't a very nice place. You know, you see the little children's books, and Jonah's in there with his recliner and a seat and a table and chairs and sitting up there in the whale's belly. No, it was nothing like that. The only way Jonah could say, he says, it was hell down there. Probably was. Oh, don't eat fish again, please, Mr. Whale. It stinks. Where's the air freshener? I'm going white, bleached. I got seaweed wrapped around my head. It says, for thou. He starts realizing, he says, God, you cast me into the deep. And we all say, oh, but it was other people that did it. It was everybody else's fault that the reason why I'm here. And he goes, no, God, I'm afflicted. It was you that cast me into the water. In the midst of the seas and floods compass about me. All thy billows and thy waves have passed over me. I was drowning. And it was you, God. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight. Surely you can't even see me, God. Yet I will look again towards thy holy temple. God, I'm humbling myself. I'm repenting. I will look again. I will turn around. I will look again towards thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to my soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down. Everybody say down. To the bottoms of the mountains, the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet thou hast brought up my life from corruption. Oh, Lord, my God. I thank you, Lord, for the storm. I thank you, Lord, that, yes, Jonah said it. It was you that cast me into the sea. I thank you, Lord, that it was you that prepared the fish. I thank you, Lord, that it was you that caused me to be in the fish's belly. He says, you have brought up my life from corruption. You are bringing me out of corruption through this storm and through this whale's belly. How do you escape the belly of the fish? We need to cry unto God. We need to repent of our sin, to repent of our wicked ways, and to turn to God and to cry unto him. You see, even when you are in dire circumstances, you've always got an opportunity to cry unto the Lord. I don't know your circumstances today. I don't know everybody here today and what you're going through, but let me tell you, you've always got a chance to cry out to God. You may be in the fish's belly today. You might be in the middle of the storm. You may be there floating in the middle of the ocean. Let me tell you, it's time to cry out to God. The way you escape the fish's belly is that you cry out to God. You see, in the belly of that whale, in the belly of that
great fish, something happened. Psalm 85 verse 10 says, mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. The truth of God, the justice of God, required the punishment of Jonah. But truth and mercy have kissed each other. It was right there and then, right in that belly's whale, that whale in the whale of that belly, right there in that it could end up, if Jonah didn't respond and cry out to God, it was going to be his end. But if he responded and cried out to God, it was going to be a whole new turnaround in his life. He was going to walk back into the plan and will of God. You see, the same God who prepared the fish, the same God will hear your cry. Our God, even when we are far from God. Maybe you're here today and you're running from God. God can turn circumstances around. He will hear your cry. He will answer your prayer. Jonah chapter 2 verse 7 to 9 says, my soul fainted within me. I remembered the Lord and my prayer came up unto thee into thine holy temple. That they that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of the Lord. That's Jonah saying, Jesus, help me. Save me. Jonah chapter 2 verse 10. It's not a very nice word to read, but Jonah chapter 2 verse 10. It says, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it, I don't even want to use this word in church, not very nice, and it vomited. There's no nicer way to say that. It vomited out Jonah on the dry land. Spewed. Yuck. We don't like to think about that. But you see, while Jonah is in there praying and humbling himself and repenting of his sin, it started to upset that whale's belly. Anyone, you know what it's like to have an upset stomach? Yeah? Jonah's attitude was upsetting the belly of that whale. And then the whale was beginning to probably feel nauseous, beginning to feel a little bit yuck. Oh, it's just not agreeing with me. Let me tell you, your humility and your repentance doesn't agree with the belly of the whale. Your crying out to God doesn't agree with the belly of the whale. If you want to be delivered from the belly of the whale, if you want to escape the fish's belly, you got to cry out to God. Because it doesn't agree with the belly of that fish. When you humble yourself, when you cry out to God, when you say, God, I'm sorry, I've done the wrong thing. The Bible says that the Lord spake unto the fish. Thank God that the fish listened to God. The Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land. You see, the only way out is to humble ourselves. The only way out is to humble ourselves. Some of us today may be in the belly of that fish. How do I escape the belly of the fish? Well, don't sit in the fish's belly any longer. Decide to say, I'm coming out. Don't run away anymore. Don't justify yourself. Don't get angry with God. Humble yourself and cry out to God. Let your arrogance go. Sometimes we stay in the fish's belly because we're so angry with the world. I ought to punish myself and just stay here in the fish's belly. We blame other people. You know, we blame other people. But what happens when we blame other people? We stay in the fish's belly. When we blame God, we stay in the fish's belly. But when we humble ourselves and when we repent of our sin, God will speak to that whale and we can escape the fish's belly. The Bible says the Lord gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. You see, your circumstances aren't there to destroy you. Your circumstances are there to save you. Turn to God. The musicians could come. David, we know the story of David. In all that David did, committing adultery with Bathsheba, in lying, in murdering. He was also out of the will of God because he should have been in the battle and he stayed home.
David, in all that he did, it was his prayer of humility that turned it all around. In all that Jonah did, it was his prayer of humility that turned around. David prayed a prayer, create in me a clean heart, O Lord, and renew in me a right spirit. I've come to tell you that you're not too far gone. Whoever you are today, maybe you're there in the belly of the fish, circumstances, maybe even of your own causing. God can deliver you. You're not too far gone. You're not too far gone. Jesus is calling. Yes, you feel like you're under pressure deep in the ocean, but Jesus is calling to you today. You can escape the belly of the fish. Where does it start? It starts with humility. It starts with repentance. And humility and repentance is demonstrated by crying out to God. Let's all stand in this place today. Escaping the belly of the whale. You see, if God can deliver Jonah, God can deliver you. Lord, make this your prayer today. Lord, speak to the fish. Lord, speak to this situation that I'm facing right now. Lord, speak to this thing that has swallowed up my peace, that has swallowed up my joy. Lord, speak to it. Lord, speak to this thing that has swallowed my marriage and my family. Oh God, I humble myself before you, oh God. Help me not to trust in my own strength and in my own ways, oh God, but to put my trust in you. For your ways are higher than mine. I call to you, God, from the deep. I call to you, God, from the belly of the fish, oh God. In the middle of a storm, I cry out to you, God. God, you got my attention today. Who is God speaking to today? Let the Lord minister to you today. It's grace and mercy which is reaching out to you today. Grace and mercy is reaching out to you. It's the love of God that's reaching out to you today while you're in the belly of the fish. It's God's grace and His mercy. Are you thankful for His grace and His mercy? You got a chance today. It's not the end. You're not too far gone, but God's grace and mercy is reaching to you. Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. Who is like you, Lord? Who is like you, Lord, in all the earth? It's time to turn to Him. Matchless love and beauty, endless worth. For nothing in this world can satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. I want to be in your presence, Lord. In your presence is heaven to me. Nothing like your presence, Lord. In your presence is heaven to me. Maybe that's you today. The belly of the fish, running from the presence of God. Yeah, you got two choices. You can stay in the belly of the fish, or you can cry out to God and get back into the presence of God. You know, some people, they know they're in the belly of the fish. Things are just going from bad to worse, circumstances, but they're so proud. They're blaming everybody else when God is calling them to cry out to Him. Let me tell you, there's nothing like being in the presence of God. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. It's about escaping the belly of the fish. If you would just humble yourself today, God will. Are there any Jonas today? I don't expect the great altar call today because nobody likes to come up and say, I'm a Jonah. But let me tell you, there's more Jonas here than you think.
All of us, God has spoken about things in our life. We've just said no. God said go, we said no. God said do it this way, we said no, I'm doing it this way. Come on, let's just let our hearts draw nigh to God right now in the presence of God. Let His presence minister to you right now. God can change. God can turn it all around. You can't be vomited out of that belly of that fish. God can do His work in your life. Let's sing this song. Who is like you, Lord?